Welcome to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. This is your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the relevant issues of our day. Here are your hosts, Christy Johnson and Dr. Paul Dean. Welcome back to True Worldview. We are excited to be back for our second episode. Last time, we talked a little bit about what we're going to be talking about here on True Worldview, and we dove into just a little bit of an introduction to worldview. And I'm here with my dad, Paul Dean. I guess I don't need to refer to him as dad every time, but I'm proud of it. So thanks for being here. And today, what are we talking about today, Dad?
Well, we are talking about worldview, but I'm proud to not only be your dad, but I'm proud you're my daughter, Christy Johnson. And,
well, thank you.
Yeah, and hope everything's going well for you and Matt out there in sunny California. Is it sunny today?
Oh, yeah, it is always sunny. In the summertime.
Nice. Yeah, I wish it were always sunny here. But anyhow, it's great to live here as well. But, yeah, the other day we were talking about worldview, and you actually brought up the issue of evolution. And, you know, you probably need to listen to our first podcast, the previous broadcast to, you know, this one is sort of a follow-up. But anyway, you know, we were talking about worldview, ultimate questions, and there are thousands of philosophies and religions, worldviews out there, and we could say the same thing about any one of them. If you're not committed to a biblical worldview, then you philosophically don't have any justification for believing what you believe. Now, that's a big statement.
Yeah, that's kind of offensive, man.
Yeah. Well, I say it in love. So not in hate, but, and we're trying to help folks, but you know, the two biggest worldviews, I suppose, in our culture are evolution and relativism. And there's a sense in which you can tie them together, but let's just start with evolution.
Okay.
And you had kind of introduced us to some ultimate questions the other day. What were those questions? I mean, everybody has to wrestle with them, right?
Right. Questions like, where do we come from? Why am I here? And what do I do now that I am here? And what happens when we die? These are questions that everybody has to wrestle with and answer.
Yeah, that's right. And if you think about it, regardless of your worldview, you know, and again, we said worldview was your set of assumptions that you look at the world through, the lens through which you view the world and live your life. A lot of what you believe, it's conscious. A lot of what you believe is unconscious, you know, just as you live your life. And so, you know, regardless of your worldview, you've got to wrestle with these questions, or at least you should, because if you don't, it's very, very dangerous, eternally speaking, ultimately speaking. So, for example, when we're talking about evolution, you know, what does evolution say about origin, you know, where do we come from? What does evolution say, essentially?
I mean, we came from nothing, basically. There was nothing, and then there was a big bang, and then we were here. No, not we were here. I skipped a lot, sure, but that's... Something was there.
Yeah. And again, don't rush over that concept of nothing. I mean, what do you mean by nothing? Are you saying there was empty space, there was darkness, or... What?
To be honest, I'm not actually sure, but I'm pretty sure that everybody, you know, well, there had to be nothing, and then somehow nothing, like not even empty space, and then somehow there was empty space, and then somehow there were random cells that morphed into some other cells. I don't know, man.
No. You actually got it. I kind of threw you a curveball there because you used the term nothing, and I wanted you to define it, and nothing means nothing. So there really was a time. You know, we live in a universe now, and there's something. And whether there's darkness or empty space, you still have space that's empty.
Yeah, that's something.
Okay, so before all of that, there was nothing. So I just wanted people to dwell on that, because what the evolutionist says, and you nailed it, you know, Big Bang is the prevailing theory. however you want to talk about it, but there was nothing, and then there was a quantum fluctuation. There was an explosion, right? And suddenly things began to happen, and the scientists can get real complicated with it. But essentially, as one young man put it, there was nothing, and then it exploded. And that's a contradiction, because nothing cannot explode, right?
Yeah, and we're not trying to poke fun or anything like that.
No.
But just kind of getting people to think about, well, what does that really mean? And does that really make sense? And honestly, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. And if you think about it, and again, like you say, I'm not poking fun, being ugly, but we're trying to unpack this a little bit. To say that, you know, there was nothing and then something happened and we are here by an evolutionary process, to say that is to say we're essentially here by accident, right? So, let me just say it again. If we're here by accident, then why are we here? You understand what I'm asking?
I mean, if we're here by accident, as evolution says, because we just kind of happened, then there really is no real reason for us to be here. There's no point. There's no purpose.
Right. So, and that's where I was going with that. I mean, everybody wants to think that there's purpose in life or meaning in life. And if we're just an accident, then life has no real meaning. So,
right.
You know, again, on this evolutionary worldview, where'd we come from? We're here by accident. Why are we here? No real reason, no real purpose. So how should we live? And see, this is what we were getting into in the previous broadcast. How should we live now that we are here? That's the question. And how do you answer that question on an evolutionary worldview?
Well, I'm not quite sure. We kind of make it up. We inject our own meaning into it, because if we are here by accident, then there really is no real purpose. And so then it doesn't really matter how we live.
That's right. That's just the point. When we're talking, I think we mentioned this phrase in the previous broadcast, worldview categories. If we're talking in worldview categories or talking at a worldview level, we're saying, okay, you say there is no God. I'm just making up somebody. And, you know, we're here by evolutionary process. I'm saying, okay. So we're here by accident. There's no real meaning to life. So does it really matter how we live? And, you know, they're going to come up with all kinds of answers, but philosophically, there's no real justification, you know, for saying, well, we ought to live a certain way. I mean, on that worldview, it's basically survival of the fittest.
Right. So whoever has got the most power at any given time can make the rules and tell you how to live.
And that's what people do, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's exactly what people do. But
I mean, that's even what's going on right now in our culture, you know. As we talked about a little bit last time, you know, we're kind of in a battle just about everything, but things like hate speech or whatever, whoever's in charge, they're the ones deciding what that means.
Yeah, that's right.
And whoever's in charge, well, I mean, I'm not sure who that is. Maybe it's the media. Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's just the loudest people on social media. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's what happens. Each person creates their own reality. Each person decides their own rules, their own ethics, their own morals. And then maybe there's a bunch of other people that agree with them, and so they form a group, and maybe they can get majority rule or they can persuade others. But in the end, they only hold sway for a certain amount of time. In other words, the rules are always changing if you don't have an ultimate standard.
Yeah.
You know, what was right yesterday is wrong today. What's wrong today could be right tomorrow.
Well, and, you know, people change so much. And the things that we usually hold to and believe in are just a conglomeration of the different experiences that we've had or the people that we've met and talked to and learned from. So even our own views can change.
Yeah. So, you know, not to, you know, keep sounding like an academic or something, but I just want to follow this all the way through on those four questions you put on the table.
Yeah. So what happens when we die?
Yeah, that's that fourth question. So, again, what does happen on an evolutionary worldview?
I guess nothing.
That's right.
I mean, it started with nothing, so makes sense that it would end with nothing.
That's right. They don't, you know, the evolutionist essentially doesn't believe in the afterlife. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in heaven or hell, doesn't believe in a judgment. Now, to be sure, there are people out there who certainly believe in, you know, some kind of an afterlife. But we're just talking about evolution for just, you know, for the time being.
And evolution for what it is and what it says, because I'm not really sure that I know personally anybody who has a completely evolutionary worldview. They're always borrowing from different things. So we're just talking about evolution, you know, as a philosophy and as a worldview. If you follow it out to its logical conclusions, this is where you end up.
That's right. And we're just laying a foundation, because probably in the next episode or two, we're going to talk about relativism. And that's where we are in our culture, and that's what you keep alluding to. And
I'm mixing them up.
No, you're absolutely right, because evolution must ultimately, if I could use an intended pun here, devolve into relativism.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it has to, because, I mean, if you think about it, if we're here by accident, life has no meaning. When we die, that's it. It's over. Then it really doesn't matter how we live while we're here. I am my own authority. That is the definition of relativism. That's what I mean.
Okay, yeah.
So Paul, the Apostle Paul, that is, in the scriptures, he said it this way. He was talking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's Colossians 2:3. Mm-hmm. And it's the wisdom of the cross that is God's wisdom. It's foolishness to human beings who don't know God, but it's the wisdom of God. He has this whole discussion in 1 Corinthians, and in there he says, you know, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, and if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then we're still dead in our sins. And then he says something very interesting. He says, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die.
Mm.
Now, you think about that statement, because I don't even think Christians think at a worldview level when they just read that statement. I think they understand part of what it means. But what is Paul getting at ultimately? Not only must we have the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but think about what he's saying from a worldview perspective. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die.
You might as well do whatever you want, eat as much as you want, drink as much as you want. You know, I don't think he's limiting himself to just those things. He's just saying, do whatever you feel like, because after this, there's nothing. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
That's exactly right. He didn't say, okay, well, we've just got the wrong religion. Let's check out Buddhism. You know, oh, well, let's check out Islam. Maybe the Sikhs are right, or maybe those Jews that I've been battling who deny, you know, Jesus' messiahship, maybe they're right after all. Let's go back to the Old Testament only. Of course, the Old Testament points to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that probably wasn't the right way to say that. But you understand what I'm saying. He didn't go to any of those things. He said, tomorrow we die. The Apostle Paul himself is saying, it's either Jesus or there is nothing. It's evolution,
right,
basically. He might be saying it's evolution. He's saying there's no God. So it doesn't matter what you do, tomorrow you die. And you nailed it. You're absolutely right. I think it's so tragic. Do you remember, and you might not, because you're grown, of course, but do you remember Carl Sagan? This is years ago. You know, he's the scientist, atheist. He's like the Richard Dawkins before Richard Dawkins. You know, he's the original militant atheist. Basically, he says he had this program called Cosmos, I think it was. Anyway, I'm stretching my memory. But he's like, the universe is all that there was, is, and ever will be. He's borrowing Christian language, you know, the doxology.
Yeah.
And his little girl, you know, was asking about ultimate questions one time. And, you know, he said, you know, there's nothing in the world that he would like more than to see his mom and dad again. They had already passed away. And he said, but there was no evidence to think that he would see them again, and he couldn't allow himself to give in to the temptation.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, this is what he tells his little girl about what happens when you die. And notice, just from a conversational perspective, he's focused on evidence. You know, we mentioned evidence in the initial broadcast. I mean, we could say so much about it. I mean, evidence, there's plenty of evidence that points to the reality of God, plenty of evidence that points to the truth of the Bible. But people reject that. But even if you just keep giving more and more and more and more evidence, you know, people are going to reject that. But see, when he's saying, well, I don't see any evidence for God, think again at a worldview level. He is the one who becomes the arbiter of truth. He becomes the authority. Rather than submitting to God, who has revealed himself, he's saying, well, I'm going to determine whether or not I believe in God based on my standard, not God's standard. Am I making sense?
Right. So if he doesn't see the evidence, then he gets to say, well, then that's it.
Yeah. And see, you're relegated to your, you become the standard when you reject God. That's the problem. And who are you, you know? And this, Chrissy, this goes all the way back to the garden. I mean, what did God say to them, Adam and Eve?
He said, you know, eat of any tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat that one.
Right. And so Satan comes along, tempts them. And again, I don't have Genesis in front of me. I'm going off the top of my head. You might could help me. But it says something to the effect, she saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eyes, that it was good to look like it was good to eat. You know, it's just
she
something like
that.
She saw
that it was good, so she ate.
Yeah. She became the standard.
Mm-hmm.
She said, God says, don't do this. But you know what? I'm looking around and, you know, we're eating all these other trees and nothing bad has happened. And I'm looking at this tree and it looks pretty much the same and the fruit looks good. So I think God's wrong. I'm going to eat this fruit. And obviously, you know, Adam was ultimately held accountable because he's ultimately responsible. But they plunged the entire human race into ruin. What
because
a tragic
they
thing.
They made the rules. Yeah.
That's the point. They made the rules. I feel like I'm rambling a bit, and I feel like we're out of time. What do you feel?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, and let's pick up here and maybe talk a little bit about relativism next time.
Yeah.
And
sounds
maybe
good.
Talk a little bit about evolution versus religion, and just kind of go from here on our worldview discussion.
That'd be good.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview.
And the gospel.